This week's edition of the 90 Day Fiancé Recap on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you can't get to go see Doug, the counselor, you might be interested in BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you're having trouble meeting your goals or having difficulty with relationships like so many of the 90 Day Fiancé couples, or trouble sleeping like I did, or feeling stressed or depressed, BetterHelp is available. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and can help. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs, and BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, and it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's secure online professional counseling. BetterHelp online counselors have a broad range of expertise, which may not be available in your area. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send unlimited messages to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and everything you share is confidential. You won't have to sit in an awkward waiting room. Again, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if needed. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Rob Has a Podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Visit BetterHelp.com/RHAP and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here to talk about another week of a 90 Day Fiancé. After a week hiatus because of the Super Bowl, we are back to talk about the most emotional episode of the season of 90 Day Fiancé, and I'm so excited to be reunited with this person. It seems like it's been 90 days, I feel like, since I got to talk to him. Mr. 90 Day Fiancé, the great Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
Rob, I'm excited. I will let you know, I've missed you. This is how important today was to me. I got invited to go out to lunch with Rebecca's family. Miko was like, listen, we got a spread. And I was like, no, can do. Rob needs me. I'm going to be there. So I just wanted to let you know where my priorities really are.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That I hope that there's no younger, hotter podcasters that are trying to ask you to go and do a podcast with them either, because you're spoken for. We have a standing thing. Okay?
Yeah. And I would like you to know that I will respect that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But we're also very lucky today because we have a great guest here with us to talk about 90 Day Fiancé, that she came to me a couple of months ago and said, hey, are you watching Married at First Sight? That is my favorite show. And we got to talk about that. She has been updating it sporadically over on our Rehab Ups. Please welcome the great Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey Rob, I'm doing well. I'm here to let loose because some people say that's like the best thing to do. So I am here to let loose on this afternoon and talk about some 90 Day Fiancé. So yes. Excited. I thoroughly enjoy the show. I've only seen the season with Colty. So season 6 before this. And then this season is just, it's just such great entertainment. I definitely at some point want to go back. Yeah. I want to go back and like watch them all.
And it's so nice to have you here. And maybe at the end of this, let's do a little bit of a quick Married at First Sight update for Puya, because I got caught up a little bit on what's going on when I was in a clubhouse this morning with my friend Lauren that I made on Clubhouse, and I want to see Puya's reaction to what's going on Married at First Sight.
Yes, this season has been unprecedented for a majority of reality shows out there. So I'm excited to catch Puya up and, you know, we'll see.
We might need emergency coverage to come back on the Married at First Sight.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Asia, how's everything else going for you?
Pretty good. So I'm in Houston. So we had this crazy snowstorm, and I know everyone up north wants to make fun of us, but hey, we are not prepared for this. We are prepared for 90 degree, 100 degree weather. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to drive in this. We don't know how to function in this kind of weather. So it's been nice going outside with the dogs, and they love the snow, playing, eating the snow. Mm-hmm. So it's still out there. It's been I can't remember since I've lived in Houston where snow has stuck throughout the day, because usually it'll just go away. So this is nice. It'll be here until tomorrow at least. But yeah, this is wild.
Okay. All right. A wild night at 90 Day Fiance also, that it was a very emotional night for Mike and Natalie, a real cliffhanger that we ended on for Stephanie and Ryan, a lot of stuff going on with Yara and Jovi. So let me ask you, Asia, where's the place that you would like to start talking about all of these interesting couples?
I do want to just say, I think that every single woman on this show can do better. Mm-hmm. I'm talking the Americans and the people that are coming over. I think every single woman can do better.
Even
except for Rebecca.
Yeah.
Except for Rebecca.
Okay.
Ziad is just an angel sent to this earth from Tunisia. he has grown on me. Like obviously, like, we just got really acquainted with him over the last few episodes, but like, I really enjoy him. Mm-hmm. So with the exception of Rebecca, every single woman can do better.
Okay. All right. That kind of goes without saying. I don't think that's a hot take at all. That's pretty much, I think, that the conventional wisdom of most people that watch the show. So, all right. What do you feel? Do you have a strong preference of where you want to go?
Well, I will say that I was pretty sad that my favorite couple, Brandon and Julia, were not on this episode. I definitely would have wanted to start with them.
I know. I said to Nicole, we're 40 minutes into the show, and it hit me. I was like, they're not going to do Brandon and Julia this week. But yeah, I was so mad. I was like, no. They took a week off, and then you come back, and there's no Brandon and Julia?
This is horrible.
My week off from them. It was last week.
If anyone should have gotten a 2 week off, why was Andrew's ass back in here? Like, why do I need to see Mama pick you up from the airport? I don't care. Like, why are you here? You wasted my time. Give me 2 minutes of Julia for the 5 minutes we got of him.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like next week we are just the locked and loaded for Epic. They will start the show, have two segments in the middle, and end the show next week.
Yes.
I can't wait.
We are loaded. We are loaded for Brandon and Julia next week.
But to that question, you know what? I would want to start with Andrew, because just get him out of the way.
Yeah, get him out of the way. Okay, good. I like to see how everybody likes to do it. Okay, so all right, let's just get him out of the way. Andrew, finally, after 4 years in Puerto Vallarta, is going to make his way back home. And he shows us, here's Amira's seat where she would have been sitting next to me on the plane.
Where was Amira's seat in the boat ride that he went on? Where was Amira's massage bed next to him when he was getting his massages? I cannot stand this man. And I wish that someone could, you had Amira's friend, but I wish someone could talk to this woman and tell her he's not it. Like, this man is not the one you should be going after. There are so many more men out there who are not, hate to say it, but he is trash. 2 weeks in Mexico while she went through what she went through. And then you're so hung up on, we're going to go to Serbia.
How could you, Asia? Didn't you see that he had Gare Bear ready to go? That he set the whole stage for her to come back and receive Gare Bear and an iPhone?
And an iPhone. I saw that. I was like, is that an iPhone just ready and prepared? No. I can't figure out what it is about him. I can't figure out if he just wants to look good for us. Mm-hmm. Is that why he's coming off with this, like, hey, feel sorry for me? I wish Amira was here going home with me. But no. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Nothing he does, no sentiment is going to make me come over to his side.
Yeah. We got to see Mom pick him up from the airport. And when I was watching this with my wife, Nicole, that she was just incensed the entire time of that Andrew in the airport with the mask around his chin.
Yeah, he definitely was like, well, I know I'm about to turn the corner for the cameras. Let me put this under my neck beard, which is not if you have that kind of beard, let me tell you, aesthetically not pleasing. You should have just kept it on for that if you're trying to be aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I could also definitely see why Nicole was not happy with that. Definitely not a good look from Andrew. But what look has been good from Andrew, really, since we've met?
Not this slick back ponytail. That's nope. Not a good look.
Yeah.
just cut it off.
Yeah. So Puya, we got to see Andrew's mom come and pick him up from the airport. And Andrew's mom, I think, is the only person that thinks that maybe Andrew might be wasting his time on Amira.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew's mom is kind of like, well, you just got back. It was very clear to me that Andrew's mom was at least welcoming to, if she's okay with Serbia, then maybe you do that, but you're wasting your money, which I do think is a good call, because she just watched her son basically take money that was supposed to be taken as a let's bring your wife home to just have a 2-week off in Mexico. So it's like, you're not good with this money. Let's not do this. Let's not make this mistake. And I love that the question comes up of, has she talked about the detention? And Andrew's like, not in great detail. It's because you're not asking, Andrew. You're like, if I don't ask, I can have a guilt-free trip. If I don't ask, I can go ATV riding. Like, basically, that's it.
Yeah. AJ, he's talking this through with his mom. And I think she asks him basically, like, is this a good step to take? And he says, well, you know, there's nothing inherently dangerous about this plan. It should be fine.
Is he completely forgetting everything Amira just went through? Like, it, even from an outsider's perspective, not even hearing all of the details, just to hear the simple fact that she was in a detention center, that should be enough. That, like, that period, that's it. But no, he thinks, oh, it's fine, because I just had this tropical experience. Mm-hmm. And then he's all pressed for time. Like, he's like, we're running out of time. But you just spent 2 weeks there. Mm-hmm. Every day matters. But you spent 2 weeks lollygagging in Mexico. Oh, I can't.
And then we got to see what might have been when Amira came back to the U.S. to get greeted at Andrew's house. What did you think about that room? Did Liana have that set up for you when you got to the U.S.?
So when I got to the U.S., I arrived at like 10 p.m. at night. She had a couple candles lit. She had a welcome home sign on the back, which is actually pretty nice. And then she made me eggs and sausages because I was hungry. So that was very nice. I enjoyed that.
But no giant stuffed animal.
No giant stuffed animal. No iPhone 6 in a basket.
Yeah. You could be on Clubhouse if you had that.
I know. That would have been my entry.
Come on, Liana.
Yeah. Maybe Amira could have used that to find a better relationship out of her status. But you listen, as unfortunate as it is, it looked great. I go back to what Asia just mentioned, though. We're like, he is very good at making himself look good or feel like he's doing the right thing. This screamed, hey, Ma, can you put together like that basket? Can you put like an iPhone in there? So when I come home, it looks like I care. Like, it really felt like
Gare Bear.
There's no way he had it ready beforehand. Mm-hmm. That was all mom. I feel like it was all mom.
Yeah,
absolutely. Does he scream the type of man to have this great gesture sitting on his bed for 2 weeks?
He is not prepared.
No.
He's not thorough.
Yeah. And then, Asia, in addition to Gare Bear and the iPhone, did he also say that there was a gift card with $500 on it also?
A loaded debit card, yeah.
Wow. This was like a Price is Right package.
Right. He needs to auction that basket off. I mean, it has some solid things in there. For your future fiance, I'm not sure. It's the type of gift you give somebody. They're at an event. You can silent auction type of deal. Not the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with coming home, personalized, just ready for her. Because when is he not going to be with her to be, you know, where she's not going to be able to use this gift card or whatever. But I do want to point out that when he walked in the door, his dog ran up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The dog wasn't there for 2 weeks by himself.
Yeah, somebody had to be in there watching the dog, right?
His mom, mm-hmm, who put the gift basket on his bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I loved it that he like dragged Gare Bear to the closet for the appearance of like, yes, I won't be needing this now. Like, all right, back into the closet, Gare Bear. Back where you belong in the dungeon.
Till next time.
Till next time. I mean, he could have left out Gare Bear. He could have at least Weekend at Bernie's did and pretended like, all right, this is the, and now I have Amira here with me.
Well, he's been doing a good job of like, well, this would have been, you know, Amira would have sat right here. Gare Bear would have been here. I think he needs it for the next scene. So I have a feeling that's not the last we see of Gare Bear. Especially because Gare Bear has a designated space in the closet, apparently. So we'll see Gare Bear again.
And he kept telling him, like, you know, I'm really invested in this relationship. But, you know, he's got like the Stephanie thing of like, and by invested, I mean, I have spent a lot of my money, all of my money. That's how invested I am in this relationship, that basically like I had a lot of money and I put it all into gifts for Amira. And now I'm very invested in this. He's pot committed.
Yeah.
So,
Serbia,
I don't know where we go from here. She's not going to Serbia, right, Asia?
No. If she has any type of good head on her shoulders, she will not like step foot in an airport with the intention of going to Serbia. No way.
No way.
We'll have to wait and see. I don't want to give anything away that I might know.
Because Amira follows you on Twitter.
No, that's not it. I mean, she does like my tweets, which is nice, but no. I saw something on the Reddit, and then Liana was talking to me about something a couple weeks ago.
Do we know if she's tweeting from an iPhone or from an Android? Can we check that?
That is a very good shout. Let me find that out right now. See if she has her own. Yep, Twitter for iPhone. There you go.
Oh, okay. So maybe it works out. We'll see. All right, AJ, anything else you want to say about Andrew and Amira?
You know, I feel like they're doomed. I feel like even if they were in a perfect situation where she was able to come directly to America, it would be a situation where they're just not compatible. And he's not emotionally mature enough to handle a relationship with her. I feel like he's not going to give her the American experience that she's hoping for. And so I just think even when they're in person, there's no way it's going to work out.
My only last thing is I made an observation on the gift card that he put there. It's a $20 to $500 limit card. He said 500. There's probably $60 on that. Right. He's like, here is dinner at Sizzlers. Enjoy. That's all you're getting. Like, I don't think it's 500 in there.
Yeah. All right, Andrew and Amira, we'll see where we go from here. I think it's hard for us as viewers also because we've never actually seen them happy together. Like at least like some of these other people, like even like Brandon and Julia, we see like moments where they're together, and some of these other couples, like we see them like with each other, like, okay, I could kind of get it. We've never seen them in the same room. Never seen them like even have like a nice conversation.
Yeah, no. We don't even know what the vibes are like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Andrew and Amira, see you whenever.
Bye.
You never.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We got them out of the way. We cleared the deck of Andrew and Amira. But Asia, where do you want to go now?
So there's another couple I would like to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Because I also feel like they're doomed. They are just on this endless cycle of nothingness, which is Mike and Natalie.
Mike and Natalie. This was such a big Mike and Natalie episode of like,
yes,
this feels like that this was the beginning of the end for Mike and Natalie, Puya, that this was not funny at all. Like, I don't think that there was really anything that I was laughing at. And usually, like, I find some sort of, humor in their arguments, but this was very raw. And the scene where finally they go to the couple's counseling, like, I really thought it was the most dramatic thing I've ever seen on the show.
Yeah, no, I think this was kind of hard to watch because I only got frustrated watching them this episode. I only got frustrated because I feel like they're both walking paradoxes. He says something he means, but then the solution that is there, clearly he doesn't want. The only funny thing, Rob, came in the 90 Day Bears All, and I cannot wait. When we get there, we'll talk about it for sure. But everything that we got here, as you said, it is the beginning of the end. I just do not see a realm where the season finale is, all right, well, let's go get married. I just can't see it.
Yeah. This was the only way that you would call this like the story of a marriage. It's like the Netflix Marriage Story. That's what this was like between Mike and Natalie in this week. All right. So I guess let's go through it because this was several beats of this story. AJ, they started off where there's Mike and Natalie apparently have a word of the day. Is this like Pee-wee's Playhouse or Sesame Street? And the word of the day was controversial.
Right. That, like, what? That I was like, that's the best that they could come up, like she could come up with for their situation. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's so representative of just their dynamic and their love story. But I was like, really? Mm-hmm. Not, I guess I can't even think of anything else.
Huya, do you think she has like a calendar, 365 like words of the day?
I don't think so. I think she ventures in either like a Duolingo type situation where she kind of like does her own thing on the side or looks stuff up. Cause like, I don't see where, what word of the day calendar is going to have controversial as one of them and how it comes up specifically for them. Like this was like tailor made for them because then it works.
Yeah. All right. So they go to a restaurant and they're having dinner. I'm like, is that a beer? Does Mike have a beer? Like, I feel like maybe it's an iced tea. There was like a lemon wedge on the side, but Asia, I was pretty sure that was a beer Mike was having, which I feel like is sort of like a passive aggressive opening remarks from Mike.
It had to be a beer. He's on the same level as Jovi in terms of just wanting to drink to not think about his current situation. And I think it's so funny how most of their scenes are involve eating. Mm-hmm. So they're either at dinner or lunch, or they're at home cooking. And it's like the one thing they don't agree on. So they're like, we're constantly seeing conflict.
What not do they agree on? There's nothing. Exactly. There's not one thing.
No.
Yeah, like he said, they disagree on the sky being blue. I was like, you're right, Mike.
They don't have one thing in common that they enjoy. They don't even like the same food.
They enjoy fighting. That's the only thing they share.
They enjoy fighting. And so we're on this, like, hey, you know, hey, 45 days to go. We're going to talk about it. Like I don't have a wedding dress. And Mike is being, again, like super passive aggressive. Well, I don't have a suit. So we're exactly the same.
On the same page.
Same thing. You don't hear me complaining. So, well, you know, what are you going to do? And I thought this was very mature from Natalie. She wants to go and talk to a family advisor. And I got to be honest that I don't understand what Mike's issue was, where I kind of could see the point. Not that I was a Mike stan. Do not try to frame me as a Mike stan, Twitter, because I am not. Okay. Make no mistake. I am not a Mike guy. But I will say that I felt like that, okay, Natalie is forcing the wedding. Where are we going to get married? And I thought his issue was, hey, we got a lot of problems. We got to talk. We got to figure out what we're doing here. And she says, hey, let's go talk to a counselor, which you would think would be the thing that Mike wanted. Like, we got to talk through these problems. He's like, we don't need to go to a counselor. If you can't explain it to me, how are you going to explain it to them? I'm not going to listen to some guy tell us what to do. It's like, well, what do you want, Mike?
This is very much, to me, it comes off as Mike, you know, because like obviously seeing someone going to therapy or getting a counselor is something that has had a negative stigma for a long time. And it's very clear that this is something that Mike doesn't like. To Mike, it's like, if we do this, we have failed. And it's like, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Like you're clearly getting lost in translation with each other all the time. This is basically someone who's going to be the middle person, who's going to be unbiased, taking both your sides and trying to figure out, okay, here's the communication problems. Here's the adhesive you need. He doesn't see it that way. I think he sees it the way a lot of people see it, of like, well, then what if they take their side? The person takes Natalie's side, then that's a problem for me. So I think that's his struggle. Clearly, he comes around to it later, which is ridiculous how it happens. But no, I this was stupid, Rob, because literally that's all he's been saying for four episodes is we need to talk things through. We need to work on this. And the minute she's down, he's out and he's not willing to do it.
Yeah. AJ, he says to her, like, oh, we've got issues that are beyond talking. Well, then end it. What do you mean you have an issue that's beyond talking?
It's like he's obsessed with like talking about the fact that they have an issue, but not actually resolving it. Like, you see it later when they are talking to the therapist, and he's like, she admits that, you know, she's not sure what she's fighting for, and he's like, there we go, communication. I'm like, no, that's not working through your issues. That's not the communication y'all need. Y'all need to figure out why y'all aren't on the same page and how to get there. But he just wants to acknowledge that there's a problem, and he thinks that that's fine. And I know, I was just like, this is such a bad look for, you know, seeking help because he's literally the representation of the stigma that people place on it. Just thinking like, what's the point? It's not going to fix anything. I don't want to listen to them. I was like, no, this is exactly what y'all need. Y'all can't communicate with each other. So y'all need a middle person to be able to translate and get y'all on the same page. And if that's not going to happen, like you said, Rob, end it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we come back to them later on, back to cooking, and Puya, like, again, the guy, Mike, just, he does whatever he can to say, like, okay, what will Natalie hate the most? I got it. Steaks. And then how shall I prepare them? Butter. Put butter on the steak. And he's got like a big wad of butter on his steak. And he's just like, I hate butter. I hate butter. Even though it's good for your mind.
Even though it's good memory food. Mike doesn't even compromise. Mike does not, like, word of the day, compromise, showing up on his toilet paper.
Never.
Like, that's not happening. It's frustrating, right? It is frustrating because, like, he could use anything else. He doesn't need to use butter. He uses butter. She doesn't like the way he cuts the potatoes. He's still cutting the potatoes the same way. Like, there's literally nothing. And I love Asia's butter. Like, anytime we see them, they're either eating or drinking or something. I genuinely think they don't see each other otherwise, right? Because he's working all these long hours. Right. So even at the one time they're together, they hate everything about that exchange with each other. This is just so tit for tat. And I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm 28. I couldn't handle this. I couldn't handle this mental warfare every day at home. This is too much.
Yeah.
It really literally, it stresses me out watching it. And I'm like, why am I feeling this like secondhand stress right now? I'm like, my shoulders are getting tense. I'm like, oh, it's because of Mike and Natalie. Let me just cool down. This is not my situation.
Maybe you need to watch from a therapy hot tub.
Right?
Yeah. That would be soothing. And this is some like Jim Belushi according to Jim nonsense. Like, no one lives their lives like this. This is too much.
I've never heard of according to Jim nonsense.
It is nonsense, Rob. So I know I'm on point with that one.
Did you watch that show, Puya?
It was, well, in the Middle East, like, we had one channel and whatever they syndicated there, we would get. So I had 8 Simple Rules and according to Jim was right after it. So I was like, okay, well, it's on. And then I was like, well, who's watching this? I can't. I'm out. Like, leave it.
I just never heard anybody make an according to Jim reference.
Well, you know, I'm a unique guy with a unique
This is incredible. I love it. I love it. I'm here for it. So Mike is also like, he's like pounding beers also during this segment. That it's like, she hates Mike. She called you low class drunk man. Like, stop opening more beers during this heated conversation. This is not helping
at all. And she's like, it's important that you be with me. What does he do? Grab a beer, go outside. Like, you're doing it. She's trying to tell you what she needs. Like, what little way she does say it, like, you know, she may not be communicating everything, but that's the least she could tell you. And you're not even giving her that. And if the problem with Mike is that he thinks he's doing it all, like, he thinks he's putting in the work. He thinks he's the one being vulnerable. He thinks he's the one that is trying to make this, just holding this relationship together. And he's not. He's not doing anything.
Yeah. I don't know, that he is like on another planet, that he feels like he's like this great catch. And Puya, I'm not sure if it's between the hairdresser, Jane, that we'll talk about in a second, or I'm wondering if people are blowing up his Instagram DMs, like, oh, Mike, you could do better than Natalie. She doesn't deserve the ring back. You're the king, Mike. Again, those are not my words. I did not send him that message.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but yuck.
You're the king.
I will say I do think, Rob, that every 90-day cast member, after they're on one season, do get those DMs. Big Ed was getting hella DMs. Colty was getting hella DMs. So if they're getting DMs, Mike is getting DMs. Ooh, I love your take on aliens, Mike. Ooh. Slab me with some butter. Like, I'm betting you he's getting that kind of... Again, also, to say for that was not my message to him. I did not message that to him. I am just making a reference of someone else's message, probably.
Yeah.
But I do think he gets that.
Asia, what do you think is going on with Mike?
I just think that he just, like, he thinks he's in this power position because, for one, he has her ring. He knows she wants the ring back. Like, he knows that she marriage is what's important to her right now, to get the ring, to come to America, to be able to stay in America. And so he's like, I have the upper hand here. So I don't know if he's just trying to push her to the limits to get her to be the one to say, okay, look, I'm leaving. Or if he's just like, you know what? I can do whatever I want because I know you're not going to leave. And so I'm just going to be how I want to you because I already don't like you that much. Because, I mean, he's clearly said that they're not as in love as they used to be. They're not in love at all. Like, love is not, they're not in like. So yeah. I don't even know why they even escalated.
They hate
there.
Each other.
Yes.
I think it's very much like they're trying to get to a destination together. The car is there, but Mike firmly is holding the keys, and that's what he thinks he is. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you can't go without me. So you have to do it the way I want to. So I'm going to keep pounding the beers. I'm going to keep eating butter. At some point, you're going to have to just bend to my will instead. And it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. And then once they're trying to figure out a mutual solution, that's when he's like, you know, fighting back of like, no, I don't want that. I don't want that solution.
Okay. So she wants to go to the counselor, and Mike is like, no, I'm not doing it. Why would I go talk to a counselor when I could go to a perfectly good hairdresser and have a talk through all my problems and get a haircut in one place? What a waste of time. Is Doug gonna cut my hair?
Nope. Doug cannot give him the haircut that he desperately needs. But that's the thing, right? He has a place that he gets to do that. And that's her. That's this hairdresser who clearly is someone who gasses him up,
Jane,
and gives him the ego that he needs. Jane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jane definitely knows the words to his heart.
Asia, do you remember Jane from the premiere episode?
Jane, the hairdresser?
Yes. Yes.
I don't. She was on the premiere.
She was in the premiere, and she was. And I said to Puya, like, after the premiere, I was like, boy, Mike and this hairdresser, like, seem like they have a lot of chemistry. Like, do you think that she is maybe she into Mike?
You know what? It's probably because I wasn't even immediately appeal, like, the Mike appeal was not, it didn't come over my way. And so I was like, oh, this is about to be a boring couple, until I realized how toxic they are. So yeah, Jane the hairdresser didn't make an impression then, but she definitely made an impression now. And that is how he wishes Natalie talked to him. The way she strokes his ego, the way she like flirts, and that's what he wants coming out. I don't know if he wants it coming out of Natalie. Even if she did that, he would reject her probably, just because it's so toxic and there's so much history there.
Yeah.
But she is something else.
Well, it really is wild when we go back to also this other story that Natalie told on 90 Day Bears All, where she talked about Puya, like, the biggest fight that her and Mike ever got into. I think the woman's name was Sarah, that was like, he has like a female best friend who he was her dude of honor, basically, her wedding. And then he stayed at her house the night before. And so it does seem like, though, that Mike does have like a lot of like women friends in his life that he has seemingly like a good rapport with, though he does not have that with Natalie.
Yeah, no, I think that it's very obvious that he's just kind of, you know, he's just give him a beer and he's happy and he's chilling. Like, I don't think there's anything else that's there. There's no like hidden agenda with him. He definitely cannot veil anything. So I don't think any of that's the case. I think that's the thing. It was a bad case of mistrust from Natalie that boiled over and got them to this place. And as far as forgiveness goes, Mike is very stubborn, and there's no way he's going to let it happen without the specific way in his mind it happens to happen. And I don't think he's going to get that, because Natalie is very clearly also stubborn. So it's just that they need that. They need that counselor. They need Doug.
Okay. Well, they have Jane right now. And, you know, Jane's asking him like, oh, how's it going? He's like, it's going. And then they get into the whole story about that giving the ring back. And how about this from Jane, this is what she says.
So, wanna go on a date? Just kidding.
Wanna go on a date? Just kidding. Kidding, not kidding.
Jane, you had all this time before Natalie came here. You've had all this time during their downtime in the past, you know, year or two. You could have shot your shot then. She wants to shoot her shot when it's not safe to do so, when, you know, Mike can turn her down because, oh, you know. But then as soon as he's done with Natalie, he's like, oh, about that date. Oh, you know, Mike, you're just Mike.
Yeah. I mean, could they bring Natalie in for the next haircut, maybe? Could Natalie get her hair did at the next chair and maybe just have, like, the counseling going on and then have, like, a two-for-one?
Well, the problem would be that the Jane, the hairdresser here, would probably be a little biased, right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Like, Natalie, this guy is such a catch. What are you talking about? He's awesome.
Yeah,
you know how much butter he uses? He's the man. Yeah. So, the hairdresser, did you feel like that she was giving good advice, though, Puya?
I mean, I think that she is the reason why she was the one who broke down the walls of, hey, talk to someone. You're clearly not, something's not working. Go talk to the counselor and see what happens. I think she does do that. I think she has the right intentions. I think ultimately she's just his friend, even though I think a lot of us are seeing that there is some kind of chemistry there, that they might be even better suited for each other than Mike and Natalie ever were. But I will say it's very clear that she cares about Mike and believes that Mike cares about Natalie. So ergo, put those two together, she's giving good advice.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to say about Jane, Asia?
Yeah, I think that one thing that helps their chemistry while she's cutting his hair is the way, how close she has to get when she does his beard. That seems like an intimate experience. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine it's just all of that together. That whole experience kind of makes him a little bit more drawn to Jane and let down his walls. Mm-hmm. Maybe if Natalie cut his hair, they could, you know, re-spark. There's a spark could fly. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel a lot of pressure when I get a haircut to keep the conversation going. I don't know why or what's wrong with me, but I'd be fine to sit there in silence, but I feel like it's rude if I don't. And I feel like that I have to. And sometimes you get somebody who is a good conversationalist. But then I feel like I feel like I'm doing all the heavy lifting here with some of these places. And it's, again, I have not had many haircuts in the course of the last year. I have to do it myself. But I don't know. Is that just me?
No, I would say, especially I sit in the chair a lot longer than you would, let's say, to get braids. That's like a 8 to 12 hour experience. And I've literally talked so long to the hairdresser that she helped talk me through a breakup that I was gonna, I was like teetering with, and she helped me talk it through. I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm prepared now. And so I think it really is like a little counseling session, because you're with that person and you feel like you should. It's never just like surface level. I don't know. Whenever I get my hair done, we get pretty deep. And I don't know if it's the thing where it's like, OK, I'm not going to see this person on a regular basis, so it's totally fine. But yeah, I can relate.
It could also be the opposite. You could have the person that is talking like way too much. And I'm like, are you even paying attention to what you're doing? Like you're going on and on and on. You're not even asking me what I want to do here.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a haircut since I moved from Dubai. I had one in Canada, and I was like, because I would usually go in and did the same thing. I was like, shave my head and I'll move on. Like, just take take the shaver, trim it down to a 2, and I'll leave. And then I got charged at $22. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'll just do this at home myself.
Yeah.
But no, for me, it was like the conversation was fine. It was when like they're talking to someone else and I'm like, you're not even looking at me.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I don't like that either.
Yeah. I'm like, I would like to leave if you don't have that much to do. Like, let me just go. So but I do think that what Asia said, you know, if you sit with someone in close quarters like that long enough, like truths come out. Conversation happens for sure.
Okay. Mike and Natalie finally go to couples therapy. And I think that the show knew, okay, we've got gold here, because there was a sweeping score of the going to this, like I've never heard before on 90 Day Fiancé. That's like they brought in like John Williams.
Yeah. No, this was phenomenal. I did enjoy this scene very much. I think this to me was the preview we got last week that I was looking most forward to, was this moment right here.
Yeah. Asia, we got to meet Doug, the therapist.
I can't say that Doug was the most profound or the most helpful.
No.
All he did was repeat what they said. And I literally learned that in like Peacemakers in high school, like senior year. I needed an elective of high school and I took this thing called Peacemakers. They said, just repeat what one person says and just ask them, do they hear them? Yeah. And that's all Doug did.
So Asia, Doug did not have to do a lot of work here. He did not have to do any heavy lifting. This is like, you know, I don't watch Dr. PP on DLC, but this was like somebody walked in, they had a giant thing, Doug poked it, and everything just came out.
Yeah.
That was it. He did not have to go to dermatology school to get this one undone.
Yes. No degree needed. He just, I mean, any of us could have done that.
Yeah. Jane the hairdresser could have cracked this one.
Right. Yeah.
Literally. This was ready to go.
All they needed, really, and then this confirmed it all. All they needed was someone to sit there and make them talk because they were just not doing it before. Yeah. It's like, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So they walk in and Doug is like, all right, well, pick your favorite seat. Doug, you have a love seat. There are two cushions. Like, this wasn't like that you walked into like Madison Square Garden, like, all right, anywhere you want. It's all good right here. Like, it's like, you're an 8x8 office with a love seat. Just pick whatever seat appeals to you.
Like, that's not a thing. Because once someone goes in first, they're automatically going to sit by the wall. So, like, it's not like those seats are decided when they walk in. It's not like they get to choose them.
Right. Yeah. And I thought this was also super passive aggressive on Mike's part. Mike has this, like, giant 2006 Bluetooth, like, surfboard in his ear, and it's the rudest thing ever to be in therapy and keep your Bluetooth in. Like, hold, oh, I might have a, you know, that Mike is like a Wall Street stockbroker or something. Like, oh, I gotta take this. I gotta take this call.
I literally was thinking, how busy is Mike that he has to have this in his ear during this once in a lifetime therapy session? Who knows if they're going to go back, right? This one time to save his relationship that he maybe cares about, he has this Bluetooth in his ear. If he gets a call, is he going to answer? Like, just right then and there while she's spilling her heart out to him, is he really going to answer?
Yeah, go for Mike. Okay, I'm all right. I'm just in the middle of something. Could I get back to you?
He's just got to make sure that if he gets outbid for the old school butter churning machine that he's put a bid in on, that he can get in under the wire before it's too late. Okay, like I get it. No, honestly, like, who uses these anymore? It's ridiculous that he still has one and had it in his ear. I 100% agree. It is very rude and I do not like it.
I'm like, how are these still a thing? Let me find out. Jane was in his ear kind of helping him out.
You think that this was like a whole like Cyrano thing where it's like, okay, Mike, here's the plan. You wear the Bluetooth, and then while you're in the thing, I'll be on the phone, and I'll tell you what to say. That's smart. Right. That is smart. No, okay. Mike, tell her you're in pain, too. That's good. That's gold.
And on the side for the camera, so just so we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Natalie couldn't see it. It wasn't on her side.
It was so smart.
Yeah.
She had no idea. Yeah. Boy, this is like the premise for an episode of According to Jim.
That's right, Rob. Exactly. Some According to Jim type nonsense going on with this couple.
Yeah. All right. So they go to, and Natalie talks about how Doug opens it up to Natalie and says, like, you know, what do you want Mike to know? And she says, well, it's very hard for her to live in the country. And she feels like that she's not respected. And, you know, he's unhappy. He's in pain. He tells her the cinematography also on this, which is not something that you typically talk about with 90 Day Fiance. The shot of Natalie where she's sitting there and she's almost just like very stoic, like stone faced, and just the sunlight coming through the Venetian blinds on her face. You could like take a picture of that and put it up in an art gallery. It was beautiful. They nailed it on this episode with Mike and Natalie's storyline.
They really did, because I can't say that I've felt for either one of them. Yes, I do think that she can do better, but there have been times where I'm just like, girl, just go back home. I, you know, like, at least for some people, I can feel for them. I felt for her during this moment, because it felt like she, in this relationship, I've felt this way for the past couple of weeks. She's the one that truly kind, like, there's something in here that wants it to work. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it's him or maybe it can last a year, who knows? But I feel like there's something inside of her that wants it to work, where he's like, he wants it not to work and is doing everything in his power for it not to work. Oh my gosh, I felt for her mm-hmm. when she, because especially her realizing that how he truly feels.
Yeah. Because that, I guess for her, that she just felt like, okay, oh, we're in a fight. Mike is being mean. Where Mike is like, are you in love with me? I'm not in love with you. Like, what's going on? And this was sort of like the place where they felt like that they could talk about this, because Mike wasn't, why did you come here? She's like, you know, because we're in love. And he's like, are we? And that really was, for Natalie, that was sort of like the earth shattering moment where she's like, oh, Mike does not love me. And she calls him love all the time.
Just call him love all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that in the case of Mike and Natalie, what we can deduce is Natalie is doing too much, trying to fix too many things at once, and Mike is trying to fix nothing at all. Because I do think that she clearly wants to keep the needle moving. She clearly wants the marriage. She clearly wants the, let's plan all of this. Let's get back to where we were. Let's get the ring back. But also, let me try and fix your dietary habits and your drinking stuff and everything as we go along. And he's like, I'm not even over the first thing yet. So why do you think I'll do any of the other things you're mentioning? Mm-hmm. But no, I think this was very telling, him mentioning this. Well, are we even in love right now? Because trying to repair a relationship is one thing. Trying to restore love is a hard thing to happen. Especially 90 days will not be something that's going to be possible for these two. I don't know, 44 now, 43. Mm-hmm. This is, again, Rob, you said it at the start, beginning of the end, like this truly felt like their boot episode kind of thing. Like I was like, mm-hmm. the writing's on the wall here. They're not going to last. It's just a matter of how they end it now.
Yeah. And they talk about the problems. We're not in love anymore. And we have this really great moment with the producer. I love it when they show you the producer talking, and that the producer asks Mike, so Mike, in your ideal world, what happens? He's like, I don't know, get married, have kids, enjoy life. And like, well, is that with Natalie? Like, I don't know. It's not great.
Like,
it's
not great, Asia. It's not like, did he think she was just asking about him personally, what his dream is of the future, mm-hmm. in no relation to Natalie? Mm-hmm. Like, it was, that was so confused. I was like, it's not that even crossed his mind, that the producer's like, asking, like, what is your ideal world with Natalie?
Who? That Natalie? No. Oh, no. not her.
Yeah. I mean, and so like, it definitely felt like their boot episode, because he said, I'm not 100% ready for marriage. I need another 45 to 90 days. Where mm-hmm. like Natalie, she's trying to hit this deadline. She's trying to get this wedding moving. She like, in like Puya said, mama. She's trying to, yeah, mm-hmm. she's trying to fix everything. And this guy is, he doesn't want it.
Yeah.
No.
So, Puya, where does this go from here? Because this is certainly not the last time we're going to see Mike and Natalie on the show. Is this, are we going to get like weeks of like Natalie's going to go back to the house and start packing, right?
I think I don't think we've seen this, but I genuinely do not see an avenue where she ends the 90 days married, filing adjustment of status. I think that she ends the 90 days in tears going home. I do mm-hmm. think that's where we're going to end up. What I can do is segue into what they did after therapy, because we got an exclusive scene in 90 Day Bears All.
Oh, please. Yeah.
So Mike and Natalie. So Natalie, we start with a confession from Natalie. Natalie says, hey, this Mike just did
on
this
Discovery
for me.
Plus, if anybody is following along where Puya got the extra scene from the 90 Day Fiance after show.
Yeah, 90 Day Bears All. They talk with usually one couple from the current season, and then they bring a bunch of couples from older seasons and catch up with them. It's goofy. It's fun. Try it for 7 days. See if you like it. I am in no way sponsored by them, so don't do it because I told you so. Definitely not worth that. Okay, so Natalie
use
is
hashtag
like,
Puya sent me to sign up.
Let them know. All four of you. All four of you, please. So Natalie says, Mike got me, went to therapy. He followed me through with that. So I'm going to do something for him. Rob,
yeah.
I have to ask you, which of these three things, which of them did she do in return for Mike going to therapy?
Asia, do you know, or do you want to play also?
No, I'll play. I'll play.
Okay, you can both each answer independently. Okay.
No. Okay.
So the first one is, did she go to a steakhouse with him?
Mm.
Okay. The second one is, did they go and see Uncle Bo? The third one, did they go bowling?
Hmm.
Ooh. See, I could see Natalie wanting to compromise, and I could see her wanting to go to the steakhouse. But then what's Uncle Bo gonna do? You know, if they were to do the second option. But bowling is bonding. Rob, yeah, do you have your answer?
I agree with Asia. I think it's bowling. I don't think that she would go back to the steakhouse, or I feel like they go to restaurants all the time. I feel like that bowling, I think that she probably doesn't really know exactly what it is, but I feel like that Mike can talk her into it, that it's exercise, it's fun, and I feel like that maybe that he could get her mind around that.
All right, are both of you locking in bowling?
Bowling.
Yeah, I'm going to lock in bowling.
Right, ring that bell because you nailed it. yes. I, on the fly, couldn't think of two options that would have been good with bowling, but that's fine. That's fine. It's fun for a second. So they go bowling because Mike likes bowling. This is what we learned. Mike says it's his favorite sport, bowling. So, of course, that checks.
Yeah.
So they go up to the front of the counter. She's like, I'm a size 36. Like, wait, what? They check size 6 US, 36 Europe. They give her size 6 shoes. And then she's like, and for you? And Mike says, I've got my own. Mike has his own bowling shoes.
Yeah,
of course.
Yes. Mike tries to teach her how to bowl. She hates it, of course. By the second frame, she doesn't want to even like let him help her. She's just getting gutter balls. He's nailing strikes. And then she gets very mad and says, what? I hate bowling. I feel like we need to have shared hobbies. I love sports. I love the outdoors. What sportsman drinks alcohol? And then it's a scene of Mike shooting back a beer in the middle of this bowling alley. So that was the compromise. He took her bowling in exchange. And that was honestly the funnest part of their relationship that we saw caught on camera.
But they did this after they went to therapy, or this was before that Mike was going to go to therapy?
So it wasn't like, I don't think it was the same day or anything, but she said since Mike went to therapy.
Okay. All right. Like, I thought like they're never going to talk to each other again, possibly.
Right. But that shows it right there. Like her compromising to go play his favorite sport. He can't even put up the little guardrails so she doesn't hit a gutter. That could have been fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's wild. But also, I feel like that 90 Day Fiancé was advertising. Is there some other bonus show that is coming to Discovery Plus?
Yes.
Like some sort of like a game show?
Oh, game show. Okay, so the game show I might have missed. What I do know for sure we're getting the 90 Day, like the single life one. That's coming.
Yeah, I feel like there was something else that was sort of like a newlywed game type show.
It sounds familiar. I've definitely seen this ad somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Too much is happening in this 90 Day world.
Too much was going on the screen at one point where it was like they shrunk the screen down to like 75%. And I'm like trying to follow what's going on the left and the bottom of the screen.
Oh, Love Games, the new 90 Day Fiancé game show.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
How does that work?
So let me see. Let me read this. Let's see. It announced. Okay. 90 Day fans were not impressed by the announcement. Okay. Well, that's not what I'm looking for. it's a game show similar to the classic Newlywed Game. Based on the trailer, it looks like couples will have to write individual answers to each question and see if their answers match.
Hope Mike and Natalie don't play. They will lose. Put the bumpers up for that one. Yeah.
A billion times. It sounds like they've got 24 couples that they've already picked that are going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see. Shock to no one. Mike and Natalie not on the roster.
Okay. All right. So that's Mike and Natalie. Asia, anything else to say with Mike and Natalie?
No, I wouldn't be mad if they skipped them next week.
Yeah, they could use a week off to cool off.
Right. Then let's maybe revisit, wrap that up, and then move on.
Yeah. Just a quick break for 30 seconds to thank our friends over at Geico for sponsoring this episode of Rob as a Podcast. Do you want to rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with
Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Let's get back to talking about 90 Day Fiancé with Pooya and Asia. So we still have Yara and Jovi, Stephanie and Ryan, and Tariq and Hazel and Rebecca and Ziad.
Oh, man. Well, we didn't get much on Tariq and Hazel this episode.
Yeah, I feel like that we can sort of Yara through Tariq and Hazel. And
no pun intended.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was not a lot going on other than, you know, it was like a little bit of like a fake out of that. Oh, does Hazel's son... Maybe is he sick with coronavirus? A little bit of a scare, and then ultimately, no, he was fine. We did get to see Hazel ride the lawnmower. Now, I'm not an outdoorsman, Asia. Maybe you know. Does Tariq have enough of a lawn to require a riding lawnmower?
Absolutely not. I'm like. What is it like? The only time I've seen a riding lawnmower is like my grandma's house in the middle of nowhere in Arkansas, where she has like the huge plot of land. Mm-hmm. It's not like in a neighborhood. He's like, he just has one because he probably thought it was like really cool. He wants to, you know, try a new experience with, he didn't want to just have to walk because he's into, you know, quirky things.
Yeah. He gets walking in at the ARE center where he goes around all of the stones.
The maze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But Tariq, also, he doesn't need to do the walking because, he's got a killer home gym set up.
Oh, yeah. I love that he pulled the Andrew. He's like, I spent so many days picturing you here with me and us working out together. Yeah, he's got, by the looks of it, he's got an elliptical and he's got a weight bench, like some kind of like a little weight bench set up. Yeah. Oh, and then he can do jumping jacks. We learned this as well. This was, you know, honestly, for the guy who, for the artist behind Hot Sauce, like they're very mild sauce now on the show. They're barely there to me. Mm-hmm. And it's both like a shame, but also if you're not giving me that, then like, I don't need to see you because I really do enjoy Tariq and Hazel when we get them properly.
Yeah,
it was like they're the only ones dealing with coronavirus, it seems.
By the looks of it, yeah. Everyone else is like earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, even though Andrew, like the date said July 2020. But he's here wearing his mask as a chin strap.
And in fairness to Tariq and Hazel's story, like they don't really so much deal with coronavirus themselves. They are on the phone hearing about coronavirus in other countries. Of course, everybody knows America are very, very unaffected by COVID-19.
Right.
Clearly.
Yes. But, you know, they're finding out about everything going on in the Philippines and Thailand, respectively. So Hazel's upset. She found out that her son, Harry, has a fever. He lives with his father and stepmother. And then ultimately, she tells Tariq, don't ask me about my son, which I thought that was interesting that she doesn't even want to talk about it with Tariq.
I don't know if it was with Tariq, but it seemed like she didn't want to have to break down on camera. Mm-hmm.
So it was like, think about it. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I don't know how many hours later this is, but we find out that Harry is okay. You know, they gave us a little bit of a scare. And they end up going on FaceTime, and Harry is fine, and we get to see him on the camera. And so Tariq, who we understand that he is basically a doctor, that he tells Harry what to do. He says, Harry, here's how you'll avoid getting sick with the coronavirus. You need to drink a big glass of orange juice every day. And we know that Tariq practices what he preaches because, Pooya, did you happen to notice that Tariq himself had a giant tumbler of orange juice in front of him?
I wish I had the eagle eyes that you possess.
He practices what he preaches.
Yep. They use it as a stand. They use the glass of orange juice as the camera stand.
Tariq may have stock in orange juice because he feels like, hey, if you are drinking your orange juice, you will be fine. Maybe that's what he needed to tell Minty. Spread the word. Orange juice.
The cure.
We'll save you. We'll keep you nice and strong.
Yeah. Why are we spending all our time on this vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
Orange juice. That's it.
Why is no one investing in Tropicana right now is what I need to know. Like, why is this not a thing?
Yeah.
Everyone wants GameStop. No one's thinking about Tropicana right now.
Yeah. And then Hazel's like, Tariq, they don't have money to afford orange juice. It's like, ah, so close. We almost had it.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, imagine going to Tariq's house. Asia, how much orange juice do you think you'd get served?
Oh, probably one when I walk in the door.
Poor Ari is probably having to drink like a half gallon a day.
Yeah. Right. And it better be some like high quality orange juice. Is it Tropicana that he has the laptop on?
This doesn't look freshly squeezed. It looks very Tropicana.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tariq. I mean, he seems like the type of guy. Get a juicer. Just buy some oranges, juice them. And that's probably like high quality right there. But yeah, he'd probably give me one when I walk in. And then once I finish that, he'd just keep refilling like I'm at a restaurant.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember going back to when he took Hazel out to breakfast at the Hair of the Dog. And if you ordered a pitcher of orange juice that day also. He loves
that would
it.
Be. I wish I could remember that. Yeah, no, it very clearly this is his home remedy. I feel like everyone's got like a weird home remedy, and his is not that weird. It's very simple. Just orange juice. Just have it once a day, and you'll be okay.
You'll be okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Not a carafe of mimosa, but a carafe of just orange juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then also another thing to make sure Harry's getting enough exercise. Tariq's going to teach some jumping jacks.
Yes.
I was so ready to roast him on this, but then we saw the frame of Harry doing it, and it's very clear that Harry likes him and looks up to him, which I thought was very sweet. For all the nonsense that Tariq is, he is a great parent. Based on the way he interacts with both Ari and Harry, I think he's great in that department. His humor and his comedy comes off very like for the kids too, so it works perfectly.
Yeah,
I thought that was so great of him because, you know, he offered the orange juice and then couldn't do that. Then he's like, well, can you go outside? And then he's like, okay, can you get moving? And so I thought like he wouldn't give up until it was something Harry could do. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's Tarzell for this week. We have Rebecca and Zied. We have Stephanie and Ryan. And we have Jovi and Yara. Asia, who do you want to talk about next?
Well, because I love Zied, let's go ahead and do.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, this was. We got to talk about what's going on here with Rebecca and Zied because I feel like that they had the highlight of the episode for me. We'll start off with regular morning, and Zied is phoning back home. Rebecca has some fake tattoos for Zied. And she gives them to him. She says, Zied, I have some tattoos for you so you could be like me. Do you want them? And Zied has like a very pregnant pause and then eventually comes up with, yeah, yeah, okay. it's like, again, you throw anything at Zied. He's going to come around and he likes it. And then they give him a whole sleeve. What do you think? Puya, was Zied pulling this off?
Low-key, he was. If you got him a leather jacket, he looked like he owns a Harley. Like, he was there. He was there. Definitely agreed with him. I loved this because I've gotten the, like, temporary water tattoo. Mm-hmm. Like, with, you know, as a kid, you got it. You had a lollipop and inside there was, like, one of them. And I was cool. I hated it when it disintegrated. But she full-sleeved him. But then also, he's going to cover it up. So it was kind of like, well, you're not going to see it ever. So how do you feel?
Yeah. Asia, I didn't know you could do this. I didn't know you could get a fake sleeve of tattoos. I'm wondering if I should give this a try.
You definitely should. That would be hilarious. And Zied would think it was hilarious, too.
He was tickled. Yeah.
He was so tickled. But yeah, I mean, they looked pretty legit. Like, if you put it on the right way, like, you know, if she had done the inside of his forearm, too, that it would have been believable.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Nicole what she thinks about that, if I should start getting like a fake sleeve of tattoos. I don't know. I feel like that. Can you put fake tattoos over the hair on your arm? Do I have to shave my arm before I do that? I'm not willing to go that far for the.
Yeah, it might be a shambles for me. I would struggle with this. This would not end well for me.
Yeah. Okay. So guess what? Tiffany and Micah dinner is on the way.
Zia had a very good point. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like you said, he covered it up and it's because they were having dinner and he was like, I don't need more questions than I'm already going to get. Yeah. I was like, very smart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're at this big dinner. There's a lot of extra people here. Puyo, we get no explanation of who any of these people are.
All we see is the lower Chiron for one Hannah, as touted as Micah and Tiffany's friend. That was it.
I was texting with Hannah Shapiro about the episode, and she was very disappointed that another Hannah has become the 90 Day Fiance Hannah.
It's hard. Yeah, the day that Rogue Puya shows up, I'm going to have the same feelings. I'm going to be very sad and disheartened.
Yeah, okay.
Hopefully it doesn't happen.
All right, so we're out to dinner, and we are, you know, having some nice talk, and you know, Ziad has some good anecdotes talking about how you know, there's no kissing in public, where you go to jail for 6 months in Tunisia, and we hear Mike, one of Micah's dirtbag friends, is talking about how where were they? They were at like some like
ball game or something.
I think it was like a NASCAR event. He had a friend that was going at it with a girl, quote unquote. Hey, Ziad, what would happen to that person? Ziad said, go to jail for all your life.
I thought that was so funny. Like, I felt like it was so lighthearted for its crazy stories where it was so lighthearted and show them like Ziad can like have an appropriate dinner and get along with them and joke with them. So I liked seeing that side of him. But Rebecca wasn't too fond of that.
Rebecca like uncomfortable. And here's this woman, Hannah. Again, no word on like how she's connected to anybody. Is she Tiffany's friend? Is she one of these guys' girlfriend or what? We have no idea. And you know, Hannah tells us that, you know, Ziad is a nice guy. He's different in a good way. All right. Asia, what do you think? Was Hannah interested in Ziad, or was she just being nice?
I think she started out just being like, okay, I'm asking some questions in the best interest of Rebecca, you know, my friend's mom, because I don't understand what warranted her being there unless she's like Rebecca's friend. Mm-hmm. But I think that the more he talked, the more he kind of like, the more charmed she was a little bit, because he is a handsome guy. Mm-hmm. But I think she started to realize like, oh, this guy is kind of fun to talk to. Maybe I could spend some more time with him by helping him move his stuff.
Yeah, and especially compared to the other morons that were at the table, like
exactly.
He was coming across as like real, like a catch and a half.
Yeah, I mean, you see enough like half-tatted NASCAR enthusiasts with backwards hats at your table, you're gonna gravitate towards the one guy who you've never experienced before. You're like, hey, you know, I'm kind of intrigued by you. So you're very, it seems like you've lived a very different life than me. No, it came off to me like, you know, I when I first moved to Canada, it was like that. It was a lot of like very intrigued friends asking me questions that they've never thought of. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, is this actually a thing that was different for you? So I liked it. I liked that someone was taking an interest in him. In a sea of like his surroundings are just people that are like dogging him. This was a great exchange to the point where she was like, I would help you move. Also, can we go back for a second and talk about the fact that Rebecca's big surprise was tattoos? How about a bed frame, Rebecca? How about you give me furniture? Like, how about that's a nice surprise?
The stuff is in storage, Puya. That's why they need to go get it. And he's home. And lo and behold, Hannah, her family has a lot of trucks. And she would be available potentially to help move things for him. She'd love to help. That's very nice. And Rebecca shuts this down because she says that this is. She basically, I think she chucks this up to like, hey, he's not allowed to go and be alone with you. Don't you know you're being so rude? But reality, I don't know if that was the issue.
It's funny too, because the way she shut it down was like kind of like not reprimanding him, mm-hmm. but she was like, you're going to let like her move, like you're going to let her help you move. And he's like, oh, no, thank you. And mm-hmm. that could have been it. But then Rebecca's daughter was like, she was just being nice about it. Mm-hmm. She wanted to like press the issue and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was Rebecca just made it uncomfortable by really showing it on her face that she did not like what was happening. Because Rebecca, we've met your man. He's very agreeable. Like, doesn't matter what you say. Hannah could have been like, hey, do you want to go get matching tattoos later? He would have been like,
mm-hmm.
yes. Like, that's how he operates. Okay. His mode of operation is yes,
yeah.
please.
Yeah. So come on, Rebecca. His iPhone yeah. case is literally your face. Okay.
How shocked were you that the temporary tattoos were not of them? I mm-hmm. genuinely thought the half sleeve could
That'll
have just
be the
been
next a one. Be the next
collage.
One.
Yeah, there
Absolutely.
We go. That makes mm-hmm. sense.
Like, yeah, I know you can't get a real tattoo of my face, but I got a shipping pallet full of tattoos, and every day you could just put it on and then have me as a tattoo. But it's temporary, but forever.
And why was it like for Rebecca? It wasn't until Hannah was kind of like, you know, being nice to Zia that she realized she was the oldest one at the table. Mm-hmm. It's like you, your kids, your young fiance, and your kids' friends. Like, what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like, ultimately, you know, they ask Ziad, what are you doing? He's like, I'm playing, you know, I have an Xbox, I watch movies. So, like, And like everyone here is surrounded is in the same age range. And like you, the whole objective of this dinner is for him to bond with people. He is successfully doing so. He's not going to forget about you. That's not happening. So I do think in this moment, Rebecca like felt her age a little bit. And it's very clear that this is something she's been insecure about. Mm-hmm. And obviously coming from that culture, from that background, it's very clear that, you know, because Ziad follows it. So Ziad is very much like he's not going to like sit in a truck with Hannah, just them two. Because that's the reason why Micah and it, like they're not living with Micah was that whole reason, mm-hmm. right? That was another thing that had happened. So I don't think he's going to stop following it. So I just found this to be a moment of insecurity from Rebecca's
Here's
side.
My big question. Why did Rebecca and Ziad even go to this? Like, what was this? Like, you know, I am I'm trying to think back to, is this normal of like that, you know, that kids are out with their friends and then also their mom and the boyfriend? Like, what is this get together?
Right. It wasn't like a welcome thing because they've already done something
that.
Like that.
And they're not welcoming.
Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I'm like, where are Rebecca's friends? Well, we saw her one friend. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that if that's the best she can do in terms of friends, that's why she's hanging out with her kids.
Do you think that this might have been like, hey, my mom is on 90 Day Fiance. Do you all want to be on TV?
Absolutely.
And she's got the one friend, Hannah, is like, well, I do want to be an influencer. So, yeah, I would actually really love that. So, I wonder if I like really flirt with mom's boyfriend on like, I bet that I'll get a lot of screen time.
Mm.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I feel like the only way this because usually it's like, OK, so my mom and her partner are trying to like have dinner. Then it's me and my partner going to have dinner. My sister and her partner join us. Like, I don't see where the friends come in unless these are friends that they grew up with. And like she knows them personally.
The kids because, from
like,
the block.
Right. Which I very clearly not the case, because otherwise Rebecca would have some choice words for Hannah and not for Ziad here because she would know Hannah personally enough. So I don't understand it. I think this is one of those classic 90 days. Like, listen, mm-hmm. we need you to go and meet up with Micah and Tiffany. So like do yeah. this dinner. And then they brought people in as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to see if I could find Hannah from 90 Day Fiance on social media, but I haven't found her yet. That being said, if I found her and then I started liking her photos, Nicole would go into full Rebecca mode. just wanted to see if we could maybe get a sense of like what her whole thing was.
I think in the tier list of side characters in Rebecca and Ziad's universe, mm-hmm. GameStop girl is still number one.
Yeah,
Hannah might be second, and Rebecca's friend is dead last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and then Micah, you could bin him.
Oh, yeah, I'll bin Micah. He bin binned. Get rid of him.
Wait, was Jane on that list?
Oh, no, that would be for Mike and Natalie's site.
Rebecca and Zed.
Just Rebecca and Zed. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we have Jovi and Yara, and we still have Stephanie and Ryan. Two big stories to talk about.
Yeah. I would say with the way that Stephanie and Ryan ended, let's go with Jovi and Yara.
Okay. Jovi and Yara had a lot going on this week because of everything that was going on with, of course, that Yara is pregnant. And we got to spend more time with Jovi's mom. And we got to also meet Jovi's horrible dad this week.
Monty.
My God.
Yeah, Jovi's family has been bad at every turn. Like, it started off with just mom, and it wasn't great. We got the aunt who came in, lost my note, and then we got dad also. And dad, I don't know where he's been, but, you know, dad was coming out hot.
There is no redeeming family member in the Jovi household. Literally.
Jovi.
Includes yeah. Jovi, yeah.
Yeah. It goes from bad to worse to like god awful. Like, I really do not find anyone that I've been like, you know what? I could see them after like you maybe a drink being more like loose and okay. Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Probably worse.
None of them have chill.
Yeah. So they're going to go out to the house for an engagement party. Yara has one rule. No big engagement party. If it's a couple people, fine. But you know, I don't want to do a big party without my family being there. No problem. Except Asia, that we're not going to tell her, but we're actually going to have 50, 60 people.
What is the reason? Like, why hide that from her? You're only asking for her to be even more uncomfortable in front of all of these people.
Well, once she sees how awesome it is, then she'll come around.
Right, because she's already just loving everything so far. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't you want her to make a good impression on all of your people that you have in your life? Like, prepare her so she could be mentally prepared to be in that type of space. But no, they think, oh, it's fine for her to think she's just going to a little shindig.
Mm-hmm. So then Monty wants to know, how do you feel about living in New Orleans? She doesn't like it. She doesn't like walking around. Monty thinks that he agrees that he knows that this is maybe she shouldn't be walking around.
And I've seen pictures and I see the kind of type of clothes you wear. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. They'll get the wrong impression real quick.
Yeah. How dare you, Monty? How dare you? Do you know who your son is?
Yeah.
Do you know your son is literally Jovi?
Yeah, unlike the artist, there's nothing Bond about him.
There was a guy who got the wrong impression, and it was Jovi.
My God. Yeah. No, the Monty welcome party was awful. I also, this was the first time I've heard Monty in the 1.0. I did have the benefit of listening to my 1.4. He sounds worse in real time, which is somehow surprising to me.
Yeah. Talking about the clothes she's wearing on vacations. And wants
right,
her to,
we do
to
not,
cover up.
We do not shame women around here. Yeah. Like, of course, like if she's on vacation and she's on a beach or she's on a boat, mm-hmm. like what is wrong with her wearing clothes like that?
Yeah. Okay.
Why are you watching her Instagram anyway?
Well, in fairness, they do know a lot about the women from Ukraine. And how they do a lot of tricking.
These are facts.
That's a thing. They know that. They know the ways of the world. About
this
the
is
tricking. Yara did not like that. She does not like that. She's mm-hmm. like, and she's ready to clap back. She says, well, you know, I don't really like that. That's kind of like, you know, people saying that, you know, all Americans are stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen. When you, yeah, and like this is a big trope in every 90 Day Fiancé season where there's an American couple, a counterpart, American family who will just install all of the stereotypes from that region into this person. We saw it happen with Micah and Ziad. It's happening here with Yara and Monty and the mom. And it's frustrating. And I think Yara honestly does say the clapback that I think in any moment with any of these American families would really make them be like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, Doesn't feel good now, does it, Gwen? Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Well, what's the trick here? Like, who wants Jovi? What is she tricking?
What's the prize?
What's the prize? Yeah. What's the scam here? She's going to steal Jovi?
Yeah. They don't have insensitive drinkers in the Ukraine. Gwen, they do, okay?
Gwen and Monty. Okay. Yeah. And so she drops on them. Yeah, we might move to Budapest.
And Jovi says nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about that? Maybe we'll move to Budapest to be close to my mom. And he's just like, what? Budapest? You can't take Prince Jovi from us?
His Highness would not approve.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just, I mean, they haven't discussed this at all. Mm-hmm. This is probably the first that Jovi's hearing of it.
Yeah, Puya, did we get that on the show at all before? Because that seemed like a little bit of a bomb to me.
Yeah, no, we didn't. We obviously have gotten continuously that she is not liking her New Orleans experience. But then every time Jovi talks about it, Jovi kind of does the Brandon of like, well, she'll get used to it. It's not that big of a deal. It doesn't matter. I don't see there being a problem. So I don't need to talk about it. So it's, and I think it's, this is the thought that's probably come to her mind when Jovi was away for so long, where she was like, what are some good alternatives to what we're doing right now? What if we move to somewhere in Europe? That's where we fell in love. You know, that's like somewhere we've both been. We're familiar, but it's not our home country. So it'd be like neutral territory. So I think she's put in the thought, but she hasn't really floated it as a serious idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Dad and Jovi are going to go have an afternoon together. They are going to go to the crawfish boil with friends from the bayou, and Mom is going to drive them. Also, again, the whole car full of terrible people, Gwen, Monty, and Jovi. Puya, they're talking about like, should we have locked the door? Like, what are they saying? Yara's going to steal from them?
Right. Yara, who can't drive, is going to steal stuff and then skip town.
What stuff do they have?
Exactly. What, like your precious grill that was outside the barbecue? Like nothing. No one's going to touch any of your possessions. Mm-hmm. Stop being stupid.
I'm like,
no. Yeah. Again, the bad got worse with Monty Asia. It really did.
Mm-hmm. It did. Time. The woman you wanted to spend the night at your house. Like, this is the woman you don't want alone at home. So, like, first of all, why did y'all leave her there if y'all are all going? If Gwen was going to drop them off, why couldn't Yara have gone with her to pick out the
decoration?
Well, she
was tired, I think, that was the issue. I think she wanted to just lie down, but they didn't want... But then she hadn't yet told them that she was pregnant, so she didn't want to, like, come out with that. That would have made more sense, that why she was feeling so tired at that moment.
The worst part about this car ride was, you know, they're joking about her stealing. And then Jovi comes out and is like, yeah, like she could steal my car keys. Why are you making fun of your fiance?
What car? You never see the guy drive.
You're getting
dropped
off.
He's in an Uber, getting rides places constantly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I think he is almost the worst to me. I'm trying to think, you know, Mike... I think he's the absolute worst because there's nothing in him that wants to make it work. Mm-hmm. But Jovi, he is up there, like very close second.
Yeah. All right. They go to the crawfish boil. Okay. Asia, have you ever been to a crawfish boil?
I have. Yeah. They're really popular here in Texas. And so, but I don't eat seafood. So I do eat salmon, but other seafood, I just don't like the taste. But I have been to crawfish boils. So they are a thing. Mm-hmm. But is it just me or did Jovi make this seem like it was about to be like a party, not like five of his closest friends?
Yeah.
It's like a
bachelor
party.
It was going to be five dudes sitting around a table, like just eating. Which so I've seen because crawfish have become a bigger thing in Dubai now. So like I've seen a lot of Instagram stories from friends back home who like will go to these like nice restaurants where they give you all the stuff to like the plastic hands and everything to like eat all this stuff. But I've never seen. I did not expect to see it just be on like. Like the collapsible tables, I call them the beer pong tables because that's the only other place I see these tables. Mm-hmm. But like, have you, Rob, you've been to New Orleans. We know this now. You've mentioned this. So do you have experience with this?
Yeah. So I did in my time going to New Orleans, I did attend a house party where this was going on. And it was interesting to look at, but I just feel like it's a lot of work to, get the, you basically, like, you dump out like a trash can on this folding table here. And I don't recall if they were, I don't remember the folding table being part of the crawfish boil that I was at, but you gotta like suck through the head of these things. That to me, and like, I'll eat a lobster, that's fine, but I just feel like that, I don't know, aesthetically, it's not pleasing to me.
And you, it's a lot of work for very little.
It's a lot
meat.
Of work. It's a lot of work. Yeah. So you had this going on. And then it was kind of like a roast also of that they come in and they tell Jovi like, hey, Jovi, guess what? We've all been betting on how long you're going to stay married. None of us think it's going to work. And Jovi's not like, screw all of you. Like, I hate you all. He's like, let me have another beer.
Right. And yeah, that one friend's like, how long until she has to leave? How long until, like, how long can y'all be together where she doesn't have to leave? And he's like, 3 years. He's like, yep, three years, one month. Like, y'all are terrible. But you know what? I wouldn't expect any like higher quality type of friend for Jovi. Like, he's that guy that has those type of friends. So yeah. I wouldn't expect anything.
Like, here's the best part, Asia. They keep citing the Jovi ways, insinuates that he is the worst of the friends.
Yes.
Like, yes. So, yeah, this includes, let's see, going to strip clubs. He used to go out every night. And like, I was like, yeah, model citizen Jovi is. And meanwhile, Monty's here giving lip to Yara and her dress choices. I was like, yes. Look, have you met your son? Have you met him?
Exactly. Yeah.
The Jovi ways, he's wild and eccentric. He's strip clubbing, goes out every night. Jovi's like, I don't go out every night. Come on.
It's five nights now. Okay, guys, I've improved.
Yeah. And so everybody's just like ripping on Jovi. And they ask dad if he met Yara. And the dad does not give like a rave review.
He gave this huge pregnant pause, and he makes it seem like his huge concern is her wanting to move out of the U.S. And I'm like, if she had never brought that up, it definitely would have been, oh, well, she dresses too scandalous for my taste. Like, it was going to be something.
Yeah. All right. We go back to reunite Yara and Jovi, and that he's getting dressed. How wasted do you think that Jovi must be at this point, Puya?
This is how wasted he is. Yara wanted food.
Yes.
And her one requirement was, I don't want crawfish. I don't want what you were having. He brought her crawfish. So immediately I'm like, you're slizzard. And based on the lip he's giving, still slizzard. Jovi has one mode of operation, Rob, and that is, I'm going to get hammered. And like, it's not like, I'm going to have a chill one beer. It's like, all right, when there's no beer in hand, you put beer in hand. That's the solution. I think on a scale of like zero to Jovi, I think Mike is like at an 8 and Jovi's the 10.
Yeah. And I've never been a pregnant woman before, but from what I do understand, as Yara says, that she's very heightened sense of smell, sense of taste. Like, you would think that a woman early in a pregnancy, the last thing you would bring her would be leftover cold crawfish.
Yes. And then he acts like it's so wrong of her not to want crawfish, because he's like, oh, I asked you what you wanted. She's like, no, you asked me if I wanted crawfish and I told you no. He's like, well, what do you want from me?
What am I supposed to do? Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like Jovi has this way about him where he's like, oh, you don't like the crawfish? You are disrespecting my culture. You're disrespecting my background. Nothing we do is good enough for you. And that's his way of winning. When it's like, guy, not only could she be picky with eating, which you should know, but also she is with child. So all of her senses are going to be heightened. She's going to have specific things that are going to make her nauseous. Like, you got to be cognizant of this stuff. And the more and more we meet Jovi, again, the more and more he's got that Brandon energy of like, Well, what are you going to do? Like, well, that is not a sensible solution to have, guy. No.
Things are going to escalate as they are heading over to where the party is. One of the things that they are fighting about is that Joey does not want to yet tell parents about the baby. Yara wants to, that he feels like that is not going to play well with Gwen and Monty, who are already concerned about how this woman is tricking her son. And now they're going to find out that she is with child, which I think is going to play to their biggest concerns. Not happy.
Yeah. I like the point she made of like wanting to tell them she is, because it was kind of like the opposite of what Zia did with the tattoos, where mm-hmm. she didn't want to get the third degree on like, why isn't she drinking? Why isn't mm-hmm. she eating these things? And it's a lot easier to have that on the open. But I think that Jovi was literally looking for any excuse to glom onto not to tell. So he really caught on to the, well, we just talked, like, I don't want them to, like, we talked about moving and now that's mm-hmm. a problem. Like, I don't want that to be an issue. Like, he just really wants to bury this and just... Can I be honest, Rob? I think the truth Please. Of the matter is he just wanted to have a night of drinking with his buddies. And, yeah. and mm-hmm. he couldn't have that if something like that gets mm-hmm. announced.
Just wants to have fun. And so they go back and forth about do you think I'm stupid? And Asia, he says, yeah, I do.
Yes. He was like, when you're talking like you're talking right now, yeah, I do. Like, he just, it the thought of... should I say this? Never runs through his mind. No. He literally just spits out anything, no matter how hurtful it can be, no matter like if it's going to offend her, no matter if it's going to mm-hmm. hurt her feelings. He just says it. No filter. And mm-hmm. some people pride themselves on, oh, no filter. I say what I mean. I say, no, this man, it just, he's just rude. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't tell the mother of your future child, mm-hmm. yeah, you sound stupid.
Like, on TV.
On TV. I do love how blunt she is with him. Like, when they were in the bathroom about to leave, she's just like, I don't like you so close to me. You're bothering me. Mm-hmm. Like, yes.
Yeah. Calls him a son of a bee.
Oh, yeah. A couple of times. I loved it.
Yeah. And yeah. we did meet Gwen, so I don't know.
I won't judge.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think everyone can draw their own conclusions.
But this is gotten very, very unpleasant with Jovi and Yara.
Yeah. She said, if I wasn't already pregnant, I'd be in Ukraine. And he was like, not so lucky. Like, mm-hmm. what? But you're not trying. There's no amount of effort on his end. He's always so immature about everything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how small it is. It could, like, even just him grabbing a beer in the morning, she's like, Jovi, I would appreciate if, like, you don't grab a beer the first thing. I want to talk to a non-influential Jovi. Mm-hmm. And he's just, it's just a beer. I can't just have a beer. You are 29 years old. He behaves like he is 18 and he just discovered what alcohol is. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating. And he's supposed to be like a future dad. He's supposed to be engaged to this woman. Ugh, she can do so much better. And I feel like he brings out the worst in her, because I feel like he brings her to the point of, you know, calling him a son of a bee and like all the comments that she makes to him. Like, I don't feel like that's how she is naturally.
So, Asia, do you think that if the baby was not complicating things, do you think that they would be on the Mike and Natalie track right now?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like that's the only thing that was hanging, like, that's the only thing that's keeping her there at this moment, because if they were on track from when he came back from his 4 weeks away, like, they definitely would just be arguing and mm-hmm. she'd be threatening to pack up and leave, because she already hates New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. All right. Puya, anything else before we talk about Stephanie and Ryan?
I mean, like, they are a couple that initially we weren't getting a lot of, and I was like, okay, well, that was right with the amount we were getting. Now we're getting a lot of them, and it is hard to watch, because, again, we know how much Yara's going through. Yara's hating this, and Jovi mm-hmm. just doesn't seem to care. And, like, he cusses her out when he wants to. Mm-hmm. It's just very... I don't love it. It's very unsavory. And then again, the fact that there's at least with other couples, you know, Mike and Natalie, it's like, okay, we can laugh at Uncle Bo a little bit. Okay, that's the thing that can happen. Well, there's Doug. Like, who is the redeeming quality in this universe? Like, nobody. Maybe nobody. Jenna, the henna artist last time. But that's it. Like, and she just had to sit there and get this news. So it is hard to watch with them. Jovi's the worst, one of the worst. But yeah. Again, we go back to what Asia said in the beginning. Almost every woman on this show could do better. Like, outside of Rebecca, everyone else is due for an upgrade real quick.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah.
And I want everybody to go back and look at Jovi's dad, Monty, because the nerve of him to judge and have opinions about Yara when this man does not have a single inch of lip is beyond me. Like, if you go look at him, it looks like he's like sucking in his lips, but just they're non-existent.
Okay. I'll be on the lookout for that.
No lip Monty.
Yeah, on the next episode. Okay. Well, yeah, is this how most 90 Day Fiancé seasons play out, where it starts fun, but then things get much more serious as we go through it?
Yeah, obviously the first like 3-4 times we see them, it's a lot more of a, well, first it's the lovey welcome there, and then we get the let's see the U.S., let's experience the U.S. But then the further you get, this is where the problems start coming out, and what was funny becomes less funny, because also we're getting to know them a lot better, so we're getting to understand them a lot better, and it's going to hurt more watching it happen. Naturally, there's going to be couples that we're going to be rooting for and are nice and don't really have any issues, like see Tariq and Hazel. But then you're going to have the Jovi and Yara's, the Mike and Natalie's, where it's like, at some point we can't just keep laughing, because it's like, you know, the cameras turn off and they're still a couple. Like, she's still pregnant, like off screen, which is rough.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Stephanie and Ryan, where that they had, you know, the heated episode last week, where we dropped the bomb about Cousin Harris. And then we had an episode today, which, you know, there were some, you know, heated conversations, but no major fights. And then we got like this wild cliffhanger at the end of the episode. And we're sort of like left to put together the pieces about what exactly happened. But let me just first, Asia, do you want to weigh in on Stephanie and Ryan overall?
So, okay, for one, Ryan is a decent looking guy. So I really would like for her not to encourage these scarves, which only they just look so funny. When he has like a nice little hairstyle going on, and you know, I can imagine him.
They being like skulls, Asia. They both like skulls.
Right. I can imagine being a catch from where he's from, but
Ladyville.
Yeah. But them as a duo, or as a couple, Stephanie is a character, to say the very least. Just the way she delivered sleeping with Cousin Harris, like the tears, but the fake tears, but then the dramatics, like, please, I'm sorry. She even said at one point, I'm so glad we're behind me telling him I slept with Cousin Harris, with his Cousin Harris. I'm like, don't you see how crazy that sounds? But yeah, these two are doomed, in my opinion. Yeah. I just think that the chemistry is not there. They have the dynamic of like a person. Obviously she treats him kind of like a son with all the gifts and the way she talks to him. But I just think that the chemistry is just, I mean, I don't care how many times that they have sex in a week or in a night.
Or zero times.
Or zero times. Just the vibes are off. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, he's just not that into her.
Yeah. Okay. It seems like that they're going to get, you know, Stephanie's hula hoop practice in. She's not going to break the Guinness Book of World Records if she doesn't practice every day. Ryan is going to practice along with her. Stephanie is very amused by Ryan practicing doing the hula hoop.
Oh, my God. I could piss my pants watching you.
He was good, Pooya.
He was good. I felt like he held his own, but he got hang of it real quick and he just went about it. It did give me the vibe of like, you know, when you watched Full House and Michelle Tanner is doing what Danny Tanner is doing and it's kind of adorable. That's the vibe I got, which isn't great if you're a couple. But it was nice to see them on the path to recovery after the Harris gate last time. So that was good.
Yeah. Ryan would really like to go see Michigan. And we learned a couple things about Michigan in this episode, Asia, that Ryan would like to go there. That they have some really good restaurants and the concerts are off the hook in Michigan. That's what you always hear, right?
Right. Yeah, that's the one thing I know about Michigan.
Detroit Rock City.
Right. And in the way that he talked about Michigan, like, you're like, I want to visit Michigan and see it. That didn't sound permanent to me at all. Like, I want to move there and like spend my life there with you. It's like, oh no, like I've shown you where I'm from. I want you to show me where you're from. And that's it.
Yeah. Okay. We get into the saga over the mother-in-law. Darla, is that the mother-in-law's name? Is that right?
Don't have it in my notes at the moment.
I think that sounds familiar. Anyway, so we saw her in the first episode, the mother-in-law, and she would call up and say, like, have you seen Ryan? I haven't heard from him all day. Can you let him know that I'm calling? And we found out that Ryan's mom has blocked Stephanie.
Now, that's a sane parent right there.
Can you believe it, Asia?
Absolutely, because I can only imagine how crazy this woman sounded to her. And she's probably thinking that they're not going to stick it out. I can block her. She's not going to be a part of his life for much longer. But Ryan continues to entertain it. And so, Darla, what do you plan to do? Because obviously Stephanie wants to be unblocked. But how's that going to happen?
Yeah. Well, apparently what happened, Puyo, was that in a heated conversation, as Stephanie and Ryan tend to have, I guess she said that I'm going to call your mom and tell her to give back all the money that I gave. So Darla got the jump and she blocked her.
That's very smart movement from Darla. There is nothing worse than someone who gives a gift with the expectations that you need to consume the gift the way they want, thank them the way they want, and then kowtow to them the way they want. Like, and Stephanie's very obviously like that, right? Like, the gifts she gives to Ryan come off very bribey. And I think that in this instance, saying that, it's not cool. I don't think it's cool at all. You have chosen to be financing this family. That means that you do that. They don't owe you anything. You don't owe them anything either, technically, but you can't hold it over their heads. And you're clearly doing this. You're holding it over their heads as ransom of, like, your son better love me the way I want or I want a refund. Like, that's not happening. Okay. Get blocked. Yeah. Darla is my hero and my queen for doing this. I really love her.
Yeah. And Ryan says she thought it was offensive that her daughter-in-law would say that. I love the idea of calling Stephanie the daughter-in-law that she's like 10 years older. Then Darla, this is my daughter-in-law. And so Stephanie felt like she didn't get a good enough thank you. She got like a thank you, but she didn't get like, Stephanie, thank you so much.
What did she want her to do? Come kiss her feet? Like, who gives a gift? And they're like, I'm going to give my friend this gift. And when they open it, they better say, I thank you so much, Asia. Or else I'm gonna take it back. So like I swear nothing she does is normal. Or I guess normal in the sense of just even if we think normal is any woman on this show. Stephanie's an oddball.
Yeah. So she says that she just wanted a sincere thank you from mom. And she also questions like how much money do you think that Stephanie has and where do you think she gets it from?
If you just had to say, how many thousands of dollars do you think I've spent?
I don't know. I can't remember right now.
A whole hell of a lot. I don't money out my ass.
Yeah. She doesn't poop money out of her anal cavity, for sure.
What's wrong with saying money doesn't grow on trees? That was a good saying. She could just keep using that.
It's very, very graphic.
Yeah. This is why she's on the show, though. This is why Stephanie exists.
All right, Ryan doesn't like that. Feels like she's trying to control him. So we come back to them later. And they've had a great day. They've put Harris behind them. That is a full 12, 13 hours in the past. They're going to have a nice dinner. And first off, Asia, could you tell me what in the world was Stephanie wearing to dinner? Did you get a look at that?
See,
did you catch this shirt?
I'm currently trying to find it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that if I see somebody, I know exactly what they look like, but I can't tell you what they were wearing.
So Stephanie is wearing a hideous shirt. It's a black t-shirt with like a... I know that you said that Monty had no lips. This was like a set of like two lips with like giant buck teeth sticking out.
Oh my goodness.
Puya, you're going to die when you see a screenshot of Stephanie's shirt. It is I could not figure out what like a...
Oh my God, what? Yeah. Like little chiclets.
It's so ugly. I don't know why. I'm no fashion icon. I'm just like, what is this that Stephanie has lots of nice clothes. Why on earth is she wearing this t-shirt?
And her ponytails are uneven. Like, what is going on?
I don't know.
It doesn't end.
So that was wild. And they're also eating outside. Like, I know maybe this is a COVID thing, but I feel like that, Asia, this dinner should have been moved someplace that was like not in a monsoon.
Yeah, she's like mid dinner. Like, I don't even think he had taken a bite of his first piece of food. And she's like, oh, it's about to start raining on us. Mm-hmm. Like, what? No, why? Why are y'all out there?
Yeah, so I don't know. But this is the time that she decides to bring up, hey, do you remember Maria the psychic? Yeah, okay. And I really felt for Ryan here because I have been not exactly in this position, but I certainly have had been on the receiving end of my wife having a bad dream. I also have had to have many conversations with my wife who has talked to friends that have had like a premonition or two, or have drawn a card or two that was not necessarily like a happy story. So I don't know how Ryan defends himself, where the accusation was not like, hey, I talked to Maria the psychic and she said that you're seeing somebody else. Maria the psychic is saying that in the future, you will leave me for a younger woman. Asia, what can he say?
I love that he was saying, how can I defend myself against this? Like, he realized, like, there's literally nothing I can say. It's her word or the card's word over my word. All I can do is tell you I'm not. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I don't want to leave you for a younger woman.
Yes.
But yeah, it's literally like her opening that door. And I don't know what she expects from him. Mm-hmm. I think maybe she just wants him to like plead and say like, I would never do that. I don't know what she wants to hear.
Yeah.
Like, it's the equivalent of, you know, having your partner be mad at you because they had a dream you did something wrong. But like in the wake state, and I know you're familiar with this concept, Rob.
It happened to me very recently.
Yeah.
It brings me back to the major plot hole with the Back to the Future trilogy of films, that Doc comes back to Marty and is like, Marty, we gotta go to the future. It's your kids. They're like, whoa, Doc, what's going on? And he's like, we gotta go. Like, they're gonna make a mistake in the future. Like, all right, well, that didn't happen yet. We got 30 years.
Exactly.
We don't need to go to the future to stop that from happening. It's crazy, the whole thing. Anyway, he does not like this. He feels like that this is with has to do with the devil. Doesn't like it. But we do seem like that, Asia, maybe we do strike a little bit of a nerve of that that also Maria sees that your mother is pressuring you to have kids. And he's like, I don't even want babies right now. She's like, you do want them. You just don't want them now.
I feel like it's a good defense isn't it? Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, you know what? Maria also said that we have not been engaging physically and we need to be doing that like twice later. Like, she, because that's really what it is. Because wasn't, and remind me, please, anybody, wasn't the whole thing with the chariot that she ended up thinking that it was a reverse on her and Harris?
Where did all this other prophecy come from?
So stop making it whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because don't try to like, retcon in a new prophecy from Maria the psychic.
It's like she wants, it's almost like she believes that he's going to leave her for a younger woman. He wants kids and she wants him to admit it. And it's like, okay, even if that's not his truth, she believes it so like wholeheartedly that as soon as she gets any ounce, she thinks that's validation. So like she was so on, like he said, oh, I don't want kids right now. And she thought, okay, that's it. You admitted it. Even though he said, no, I never want kids. Never, ever. She's like, nah, you already said it. You say that's not what you said. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh my gosh, what do you want from him? Like she did. I think there's no hope because it's not like she sees an upward path for him. Yes. Like she's always going to think he's cheating.
Well, Ryan, that's not what he's looking for. That the number one thing he's searching for on this hunt is he's looking for someone with experience for this position. And she has it. That's what he wants. Experience. That's what counts. All right.
Yeah, tell her, I always want to rock your boat. I'm like, Ryan, you haven't been rocking her boat this trip.
Yeah. All right. And I get... I don't know. I maybe it's just me. When Stephanie talks about getting laid, I don't. It doesn't sit well with me. I don't like it.
I don't. Like, I'm no prude.
No.
So like I'm fine, but it's just the way she talks about it. And maybe it's the jargon. You know, this is the same person who talked about rubbers, and I think it's just the choice of vocabulary that doesn't come out of her mouth correctly, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. But then this was like our wait, what happened? So we get 4 hours later, a card on the screen and big fight. Don't you lie to me. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? And he runs off. We have no idea what happened.
We don't even get any indication from the things she's saying. She's just like, why would you do that to me? Which I'm like, is she saying like, why is he walking out on her? Or is he, did he do something? Did they say something? And it's just like chaos and we're just left hanging.
Yeah.
When we got the 4 hours later, I thought, oh my God, they're about to show us them both like smoking a cigar. Like she just had like the wildest night. But this happens. And then my favorite part of their whole thing wasn't even in the episode. It was in the next time on.
Next time on.
When Stephanie is about to call Cousin Harris again.
Right. Yeah. She could really use a friend in this situation. Oh, who else could she call?
Wow. Could you believe it? That the Cousin Harris is going to be back? Right. Also, yeah, that Ryan, that maybe that he, this was foreshadowing that he said that he doesn't want Maria being like Harris and just getting in the way of things.
Right.
And Cousin Harris could be back in the picture.
I don't think
he ever
left.
Let that man go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not know what happened here.
So 4 hours is a decent amount of time. What could have happened? Mm-hmm. So let's try and like figure this out together as a unit. So they get back. Clearly we're left. The last parting words before the 4 hours was Stephanie making some kind of comments about how she wants to be handled in the next bit. They go inside. She initiates. He rejects or he says, let's eat or something first. And then she initiates again. Nothing happens. She makes a shady remark. He throws the remark back at her. Fight ensues.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess that does give some time to like get back from dinner and take showers, get cleaned up, and then initiate. It's like 4 hours. Think about having dinner. Let's say you go to dinner at 7. You go. Mm-hmm. You leave. You get done at 8. Like midnight. That's a lot. Like 4 hours is a long time for something to transpire. Maybe they were on their second or third go round, and something happens since they do like to do it multiple times.
I feel like maybe they watch The Irishman and they're very angry with the fact that they wasted 4 hours. And Ryan was so mad that she made him watch that he left. I don't know.
It's definitely I can't wait to find out. They did the de-aging technology in that one.
Endless possibilities.
Yeah.
Skin envy.
So are we going to find out next week?
Yes, we should be finding out next week. I hope we find out next week.
I mean, I've never seen them do a cliffhanger like this.
90 days good for this. They'll sometimes leave you like this, waiting to want more. And then obviously you've seen the editing tricks. Some episodes they'll do that, and then it's something completely opposite to what you thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. This seems more serious than that. I think we're going to see it. I think the episode is going to start with their blow up, and then we're going to see the trickling effects with the Harris call and stuff later. But we'll definitely, that'll be the first scene we get back into the episode next week.
Yeah. This was a very serious episode of the show that I just feel like that, so a lot of times there's just like a lot of wackiness, but this, I mean, we saw like just major fights, blow ups, the most dramatic scene I've ever witnessed on this show. Asia, this is like, so much drama.
It was, but I loved it. I loved every bit of it. They keep us entertained. But I am very much so looking forward to Brandon and Julia being back.
Yes, we need Brandon and Julia back. Yeah, AJ, I teased at the top of the show that, you know, there's also a lot of drama going on in the world of Married at First Sight. And I don't, Puya, you are not familiar with what's going on in this universe, right?
I am very much.
Yeah,
coming in ready and empty.
Can you
to learn.
Can you give us the because I saw it like national news of what's going on Married at First Sight, that this was so wild, and you know, like either when that happens, it's either something very good has happened or something very bad has happened in the season,
right?
And this was like an unbelievable turn of events on Married at First Sight.
Yes, let me set the stage. So there are five couples, but this one couple, there is a woman named Paige and a man named Chris. And so Paige, she's a Christian girl. She's a realtor. She's an accountant. She thinks God put this situation in front of her to be married at first sight. So she's open and ready. Mm-hmm. Chris is, his name is Chris Williams, similar to, you know, Swaggy C.
Different Chris Williams. Yeah.
Very different. He sees himself as like a self-made man. Like he was at his lowest of lows where he lived in his car at one point. Now he's like making all this money. So he's like, he thinks he is it. Like he thinks he's a catch. And we do find out from him that he's been engaged twice before. Well, they get married. They meet at the altar. She's attracted to him, but he says that she's not his type. She's not the type of woman that he would have went after. She's the type of woman that he needs, not the type that he wants. He tells her bridesmaids this. He's not attracted to her. And I mean, I don't know if he's just like, if he just dated these baddies before, but he apparently this nice Christian woman who is a beautiful girl, he's not attracted to her. Well, we find out that,
and remember, he was on the first episode. He was like saying to the other guys, "Like, hey, what if she's ugly?" Like,
yeah,
he was the guy. He was the guy that was like he manifested this, like that he's gonna be psyched out.
Yes, that's his biggest concern, is that going into the wedding day, he didn't want her to be ugly. Well, turns out he's not attracted to her. He says he only has one tattoo, which he got a couple days ago because he was covering up his ex's name. He was engaged. The same year, so this was filmed in August 2020. He was engaged earlier 2020, and it only ended 3 months before he got married. So this man was just engaged 3 months ago. Okay, she, small talk, she's like, oh, I have a dog. Do you like dogs? He's like, what kind of dog? And she's like, oh, Yorkie. He's like, oh, my ex had a Yorkie. Annoying. So just keeps bringing up his ex.
Yeah.
Okay, wedding night. We get this like everyone has a great wedding night. You see them wake up, have breakfast. We get this dramatic scene of Paige being alone, not knowing where he is. Come to find out, he needed some time. He needed some time away. He comes back. He tells her he's not attracted to her. She's like, yeah, but what about us having sex last night and this morning? So So it's a situation where his actions are not reflecting what he's saying, right? Then they go,
even get to the bombshell yet.
Like, right. They're still getting married.
They're already married. They get married at first sight.
They got married when they met. Yes. Okay. So now they're leaving for the honeymoon. The honeymoon is in Vegas. So they get to Vegas, and then there's this bombshell where he's like, I don't want to tell her. The producer's like, you got to tell her. So you know when they break that fourth wall, like it's something big. They're like, you got to tell her. He's like, I don't want to tell her. I'll deal with it later. And he tells her like, oh, I got some big news, but I don't want to talk about it. And she's like, what? No, we have to talk about it. He's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. But you want to go to the pool? And she's like, no, let's talk about it. So this man handles it in the most mature way. Goes into the bathroom, turns on the shower, turns on the faucets, and says, and delivers the news, which is his ex-fiance is with child.
Let me just ask you though, because I feel like that when we talk about Married at First Sight presents itself as like, this is a scientific experiment. We have found the perfect person for this woman. We've gone through all of the personality steps that we've vetted these people. This is the perfect person for each. Didn't they drop the ball here?
Right. How do you not interview his ex-fiance?
Like, at least on 90 Day Fiancé, these lunatics found each other.
Yes. Yeah. How do you not see the tattoo of his ex-fiance's name, which was there at the point of him going through the process? Like, how is this not there? Turns out he met up with his ex-fiance when her dad passed away. What was it? I think 6 weeks before the wedding.
Yeah.
And finds out she's 6 weeks along. She knew pretty early on, but told him during the honeymoon. And so this could have all been prevented if she told him 3 days earlier. He would not have gotten married to this man. But yeah, now he's like, hey, this is what I got to do.
Still trying to figure it out?
Yes. And it's because Paige is so patient. Like I said, she still thinks, okay, I know I'm dealing with all this, but God placed me here. This is where I'm supposed to be. Maybe this is all happening for a reason. He even asked her, like, would you be okay being a stepmom? She's like, well, my last relationship, I kind of was already. So, you know, it's something I thought about. And it's atrocious because he's doing everything in his power to end things where she's trying to save the marriage. And he's the absolute worst. And there's just even so many little nuggets that are even worse. That it just show how immature he is, how not ready for marriage he is. But she's hanging on and they're trying to work it out.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like that's on Lifetime. You know, like it's like, you know, Stephanie and Ryan already found each other before TLC got involved. Like it wasn't like, that Stephanie and Ryan were like, oh, I hope I can meet somebody. And like, we've got the perfect person for you. Put them together. That's wild. It's wild stuff. All right.
Yeah. And the other couples have crazy opinions about it. So Amy and I will be back together this week to talk about these last two episodes because that's just too big of news not to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wild stuff. All right. Asia, where can people follow you?
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So that's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A.
Okay. All right. Anything else that you are posting about these days?
Just the different shows I'm watching, The Challenge. There's just I just finished Bridgerton, so I will be going to post show recaps to check out that coverage.
Yes.
That was such a good show. I literally watched it in like 2 days.
2 days.
But yeah, it's so good. Just watching so much The Bachelor. There's so much going on there in real time and on the show.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, solid television.
Okay. All right. Puya, what's coming up for you?
So I will be back talking Masked Dancer this weekend.
Yes.
They'll be finishing the show and we will be talking about said show. So me and Liana will be back talking all about The Masked Dancer. And they've now announced Masked Singer Season 5 coming back March 10th. So we'll be amping up for that as well. They haven't announced any outfits that I've seen yet, but I'm excited to check all that out when it comes through.
Is that the official term for what they call them, the outfits?
No. I don't think they have. They're the costumes. Literally, they should be the costumes. But yeah, I'm excited to check all of that out for sure. And we will probably do a preview before we start the season coverage proper. So you can check all that out and keep an eye out for any of other announcements for that over on my Twitter, twitter.com/Puyaism. And then I do stream on Twitch as well. So twitch.tv/Puyaism for any of that extra content there.
Anything if you were looking up
for that. Let's see. So I've got a tier list tomorrow. Haven't spoiled any of it yet. So we'll keep that under the hat for now. So that'll be exciting. I obviously do my Friday night streams.
People in the Rebecca and Zed cinematic universe?
I only will be saving that for you, Rob. Okay. When we have enough of them to tier list, you will be invited on to
I had
that
one that I thought of that I wanted to do with you and that I wasn't sure if you would be into it. Did you ever do, first off, are you a Price is Right guy?
I have watched my fair share, not a lot, okay. Not like a lot, but is it the games of the
yes,
Price is
the
Right?
Games of the Price is Right. I wonder if Puya would do that. I feel like that would be a good, tier list.
No, I'm all in for that. I would love that.
Yeah. I have to do some research. I'm not on top of all the new games.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is that we can just search it up, find them, watch a couple clips of them, see the mechanics and make our opinions. I think, yeah, there you go. Spoiler alert. That's something I'll be talking to Rob about offline now. So I'm very excited about that. But yeah, other than that, like we just play rant. You know, I've got an Among Us night. I've got a date night that usually Jenny, Phil, Liana are involved with. So that's a good time, man. It's all on Twitch.
All right.
Check it out.
All right. And then we are going to be back on this Wednesday night to talk about the 34th best season of Survivor. Survivor Nicaragua. I've been halfway through that one, of course, this past week. Talked about the 35th best season of Survivor Worlds Apart. Check that out as well. And then, of course, we are also going through Pirate Master right now. So you can check out our Pirate Master rewatch here on the RHAP Rewind all month long here in the month of February over at robhaswebsite.com. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing too, because you're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.